Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
It is so stressful to not know what you're doing next. I'd like to hear from other people who are in transition, personal, professional, emotional, spiritual, financial. How'd you get through it?
That's Maria Shriver talking recently in a video about how to make transitions in life. One of the transitions that she is reportedly facing is a separation from her husband of 25 years, California governor and movie star Arnold Schwarzenegger. Of course, we always hear about the celebrities or the politicians in their big breakups. There's something else about this couple. It's not just their celebrity. They're also part of a generation, the baby boom generation, that has lived with and found divorce very easy, even after decades of marriage. Joining us to talk about baby boomers and easy divorce, and a little bit later, a so-called safe sex video on homosexual sex, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. And she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
What are your thoughts, not so much about the movie star status or the politician status of this couple separating now, Arnold Schwarzenegger and his wife of 25 years, Maria Shriver, but them as emblematic of a generation?
Well, you know, I grasp what you said, you know, in your little intro that the baby boom generation is used to divorce being kind of always an option and kind of always available. And I think what's really emblematic about it is that we think about that because it's an option that's always on the table, you don't have the same level of commitment. So I think it's a misnomer to say that we have quote unquote easy divorce, because there's nothing easy about it, really. And if you heard Maria Shriver on the little clip that you just played, she obviously knew, she wasn't saying, "I'm about to get divorced from my husband," but that had to be a moment of anguish for her to be talking about that and having a certain amount of class and not just blasting it out there that, "Oh, I'm about to have a divorce." So there's a lot of pain involved in it. There's still pain involved in it. But what has happened to us as a baby boom generation is, because divorce is always a possibility, we never completely entrust ourselves totally to the institution of marriage and to our spouses. And so therefore, if you sit there and calculate, is today the day I get a divorce? Has he really gone over the line far enough that I'm going to get a divorce? Then the question is always on your mind in a way, and you're just arguing about the exact time you're going to do it. And so in a way, that attitude toward marriage and divorce has kind of robbed us of the security that marriage can really potentially bring. So it's all very sad in a way.
When we come back, I want to stay with that. That's an intriguing insight that when divorce is always on the table, as Jennifer says, you're not really contemplating if, you're just contemplating when. I'd never thought of it that way. We're talking about baby boomers and divorce a little bit later with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. We'll get her thoughts on a so-called safe sex video making the rounds in universities on homosexual sex. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 10th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. Thank you.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is our guest. We're talking about baby boomers and divorce. Now, in a few minutes, we will be addressing the subject of a safe sex video on homosexual sex. And I imagine the conversation might be more graphic than young ears can bear. If you have kids near the radio, or if you're listening on demand, you're listening with your kids, be forewarned, please. There's some graphic content coming up here in just a few minutes on Issues Etc. Jennifer, many boomers might say, look, our parents' generation, our mom and dads, they lived in loveless marriages. They overstayed their welcome, so to speak. They outlived their effectiveness together as husband and wife. Can that explain some of the reason why divorce is always an option for the boomer generation?
Well, you know what? I think that is exactly what a lot of baby boomers would say, that, you know, look, my mom and dad didn't love each other, and or if they did, they stopped loving one another, and all we heard was bickering and quarreling and so on and so forth. And that's certainly understandable, right? But the question is, what is the proper response to that, you know? And I think a natural response is to just walk away, you know, and to say, well, I'm not going to let it come to that. If it comes to that, I'm going to be out of here. But that's the natural response, but the supernatural response is to realize that marriage is ordained by God, and that Almighty God always wants us to love our spouses. No matter what is going on, we're always called to love our spouses. And sometimes you may have to leave the person if your life is in danger, your children are endangered, and so on. But most of the things that people leave over are not that big. They're really over a lot of little things, a lot of little irritations, a lot of little slights, a lot of feeling like you don't really matter to the other person and so on. And so I think that the proper response to the problem of the loveless marriage is to say, well, okay, I'm going to be the person who digs in deeper on the side of love. I'm going to be the person who rises above the little slights, who doesn't engage in the petty back and forth stuff that everybody's susceptible to. You can marry a really great guy and foul up the marriage by having to have the last word in a quarrel. You know, something as little as that can be corrosive and destructive to married life. And so those kinds of things, We absolutely have a choice about how to respond to them, and we can respond in love in the way that our Lord would want us to do, which is to engage more deeply in love and to overlook the slights and to know that we're loved by God, so that even if our husbands don't love us as much as we want to be loved or as much as we need to be loved, that God does, and that we can take comfort in that and be upheld by that. And honestly, Todd, I think that in every period, in every marriage, you'll go through periods of time where the two of you really aren't enough to sustain the marriage. You know, you're freaked out, your spouse is freaked out, you're both exhausted. This is why families with a disabled child, for example, will fall apart. This is why it's so difficult, right? Why the divorce rate would be higher among those people. Everybody's stressed out. It feels like there's not enough love to go around. So what you need is an infusion from the outside, an infusion of love to sustain everything, and that comes from our Lord, and it comes through our prayer life and through the sacramental system that we have, which God left us to for exactly this purpose. And I believe that's one reason why regular religious practice is a protective factor against divorce. We've talked about this on this program before, you know, that just saying I'm a Lutheran or just saying I'm a Catholic, that's not good enough to protect you from divorce. But if you go to church every week, your divorce rate falls a lot, you know, and I think that's what people are getting from it. They're getting that sense of being sustained by the love of God, so that you're not the one who's escalating the hostilities when things go wrong, or you're not the one falling down on the floor in a wreck because you're not loved enough and you can't go on. You know, you've got a way of sustaining the love in the marriage, because you're getting a love transfusion, and so it seems to me that's the real lesson from the baby boomer generation. I'm sure you've got listeners right now listening who went through all this stuff, and you know, who thought the divorce was going to make them happy, and then in the end it didn't make them happy, right? I'm sure you have listeners all across that spectrum, and I just think that doing it God's way is the better way.
Let me see if I can describe to you the best way to get your finger in to perhaps a virgin butt. There's always got to be a first time for everyone. You'll probably want to put on a rubber glove or possibly a finger cot, and that can smooth out everything really nicely too. Get a lot of lube, and with one lubed finger, just move around the outside of the anus in little circles. Touch your finger just to the outside, and then move in just slightly, just the very slightest bit, until you feel the pressure of the sphincter. You're not going to poke your finger in. Never do that. That will make the reflex happen. That will make your man jump up and say, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. So you want to slide in really gently.
Very graphic excerpt from a video shown at the GLBT Fun Sex Seminar event at Texas A&M University. Posted itself as Safe Sex and Instructional Jen, is it?
Well, I don't remember it being posted that way. The one that I said was something about butt sex or something like that. But you know, oddly enough, in that whole video, at least the part that was shown in there, there was not a word about safe sex, about protecting you from disease or anything like that. It was really just instruction on how to do anal sex. And it could have been male or female, you know, I mean, it could be anybody doing it, you know, it's not necessarily same-sex activity. Anybody could do that if they had a mind to. But what was odd about it is that that somebody thinks that it's a good idea to instruct people on anal sex. I don't get that. Who needs this instruction? That's what struck me after I watched it, and I watched it and listened to it a couple of times trying to just grasp, what are they doing here? What is the point? You know, who's the audience here? It's really quite something, huh?
And yet we are told that this behavior is normal?
Well, we're told it's natural, right? So there's a batch of people who are saying that this is natural sex for them. If it's natural, why do you need to be instructed on it? And I feel fairly certain that if you put a heterosexual man and a heterosexual woman in a room together for long enough, they would not need instruction on what to, they would figure it out, you know. So that's what was kind of surprising about it. It's like, who's needing instruction here, you know, if it's really something that comes naturally to a person of homosexual inclination. I guess it would have to be male homosexuality. So why would they need instruction if it's so natural? So it seems contradictory in a sense, doesn't it?
There's also, and we've only got a few minutes left here, Jennifer, there's also something, and you noted in your blog post on the video, kind of mechanical about this. You say, insert tab A into slot B. There's something very mechanical and inhuman about it, I, for lack of a better word.
Yes, that's right. Something, it's very impersonal.
Yes.
That whole video is very impersonal. And if you watch the video, you played just the audio, and you know with radio you always get to use your imagination about what it looks like. But the video itself, they literally showed a person. You showed a person's backside and a person's finger, but you never see a face. You never see a face. So it's this whole kind of mechanical. Here's how you're going to be sexually stimulated, but there's no thought really that there's another human being there, that there's another person. So there is something lost just in that element of the thing.
You deal a lot with college students, and with only a minute left here, Jennifer, you deal with this age group all the time. How do you think they react to this kind of promotion of the how-to of homosexual sex?
Well, first of all, I don't think that group. I'm not convinced that the people sitting in that particular room thought of it as homosexual sex. They thought of it as anal sex. And Todd, I don't want to shock your listeners further, but because of the pervasiveness of pornography, a lot of heterosexual men think that they're entitled to anal sex with women. Because the sort of desensitization that takes place if you watch a lot of pornography, plain vanilla penis and vagina sex doesn't do it for you anymore. You look for something, more transgressive, more stimulating, more dangerous, more risky. And so there are a lot of straight guys who think that they're entitled to anal sex with women. And if you look at the comments in that post, you'll see guys talking like that. So there's that whole aspect of it that we've sort of moved away from just sex being sex. And the depersonalization of it, I think, is really the most shocking thing. And I think that is a fact of life for a lot of college students, straight and gay, again, because of pornography, as much as because of the promotion of gay sex, of sort of implied in that group. It was implied only because that thing was being sponsored by the Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgendered Resource Center at Texas A&M, and the kids who took that video, who kind of did an undercover cop kind of thing of recording it surreptitiously, what they have done with it is to create a campaign saying that if the student activity fees are going to fund a program like that, they're going to fund the GLBT Resource Center, then they should be funding an equal amount for pro-abstinence, pro-marriage resource centers on the campus, too. And
about 10 seconds.
So conservative students made that happen, and that is actually going through the Texas State Legislature now. So good for those kids for stepping up to the plate and exposing the public to what is actually going on, if you'll pardon the turn of phrase there.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason University. She's author of the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen and other Issues Etc. regular guests will be speaking at a conference, It Takes a Family to Raise a Village, July the 28th through the 31st in San Diego. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
In the second hour, we're reviewing a sermon preached on Mother's Day by John Ortberg at Willow Creek Community Church. Stay tuned.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.